Invite you now to take your Bibles and to go to the New Testament, to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. We will read the first 21 verses. Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. This is in the section of Paul's writing to the Ephesians about practical Christian living. And let's hear what he all says here. He writes to the believers in Ephesus and for all ages, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of darkness. Of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So far, the scripture reading. And our text is especially in verse 16, as the elder of service also referred to, about redeeming the time because the days are evil. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, I wonder if you can guess what led me to the text for this morning. Let me read again the verses 15 to 17, for our text is sandwiched right in between these verses. "See then," says the Apostle Paul, "that you walk circumspectly," meaning accurately or precisely or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Focusing now especially on that phrase, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yes, what led me to this verse especially is our present situation. With the pandemic crises of our day, all of us have experienced in some measure a dramatic change in our schedule of time and in our use of time or way of time. Many distractions of our time spent each day before have been removed from us. Even going to a park or watching a game or just with visiting together. We have been stopped in our tracks, in our normal daily and weekly use of our time in different ways. And with this being the reality, I thought, would it not be relevant and wholesome for us to hear teaching from God's Word on the use of our time here on earth. Perhaps now, as never before, we can stop to think about how we are doing in this regard. So the theme for this sermon is redeeming the time, exclamation mark, question mark. And we will think about this now, reflecting on this being a Christian exhortation, a practical exhortation, and a happy exhortation. You can be sure, too, beloved, that in preaching this sermon now, I'm preaching it to myself as much as to you. First, then, let's realize what Paul calls for here, redeeming the time, is a Christian exhortation. And with this we mean it's a call given to Christians in living their life here and now. When you and I are confessing Christians, this is a word that ought to be noted and observed by us, and something that others can see and we take seriously. The Bible teaches us we are to make use of our time to count for eternity and to count for good for those around us. Are you and I, as confessing believers, living our lives, redeeming the time because the days are evil? It is a reality that only Christians actually will realize and say this, that the days are evil in which we live. What Paul means with that is we live in a sin-cursed, fallen, immoral, rebellious, virus-filled, corrupted, depraved world. During different time periods in history, the evil days of this world can appear more prominent than at other times. Take, for instance, times of war and pestilence, and times of plague or famine, or oppressive government rule, or dangerous civil unrest and rebellion and revolt. In the time when Paul wrote the letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the world then was in an evil day, though Lot looked prosperous. It was a wicked, arrogant, ungodly, idolatrous, licentious age, not unlike our 21st century world in our day. Now Paul exhorts God's people in such a setting that we live redeeming the time because the days are evil. And the word to redeem here refers to making the most of something. As another noted, it has the basic meaning of buying, and especially buying back or buying out. It was used of buying a slave in order to set him or her free. Thus, the idea of redemption is implied in this verse. The same verb is used in Galatians 3:13, which we thought about a while back. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Oh, Christ made most use of every opportunity, didn't he, that was given him, sinners, to save. This is something we'll come back to a little later. The point now is, for the Christian who lives discreetly and wisely and not as a fool or irresponsible person and poor witness to others, we need to be about redeeming the time. That is, we are to live daily buying up our time, making the best use of it as possible, buying up all the time that we have and devoting it to the Lord and His service before God and towards others. We are not to be wasting our time, nor to let it fritter away only just in worldly trivia and only in pursuing earthly treasures and pleasures for ourselves. It's the mark of the unconverted and the ungodly that they walk vainly and wasting a lot of time. But it should be so different for the Christian, is what Paul is teaching us here. In the narrow way, rather, of the Christian pilgrimage, he is saying we are to walk carefully, seeking always to take full advantage and to make full advantage of every opportunity to serve God, redeeming the time to use for His glory and the well-being of those around us. What Paul says in our text in Ephesians 5:16, he says similarly in Colossians 4, verse 5. We read there, he exhorts, Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. There's an evangelical tone and thrust to the call, redeeming the time. The words that Paul uses for time here is also instructive. It's one of two possible words. One of the words refers more to clock time, with the seconds and the minutes and the hours of each day in view. That's not the word Paul uses here. But he uses the word for time that refers more to fixed seasons and opportune moments and special periods in our lives as given us by God. As long as we live, you and I are given, aren't we, opportune times, opportunities, and special situations and moments that we can use either for ill or for good. Those times where we either make the most of the opportunity or where we miss the opportunity. And Paul is urging for Christians to make use of the opportune times given us in life's journey for seeking and serving the Lord in the best way possible. Paul in our verse is not talking about how to make a daily schedule and what we do every minute of every day. We have to live, of course. We have to do our work. We have our routines. We have our mundane activities. Yes, indeed. We also have our free time that we sometimes need and our recreation time. That's all okay. But he's more talking about here living all out for what is all important in the whole perspective of our life, making the best use of the times and opportunities given us to count for eternity and for witness to others. Interestingly, in this regard, the English word opportunity comes from the Latin and means towards the port, towards the port. The word opportunity suggests the picture of a ship taking advantage of the wind and the tide to arrive safely to port or to harbor. As another preacher put it, the brevity of life is a strong argument for making the best use of the opportunities and time God gives us. We must not let those timely opportunities be lost by us. I read too in this connection about the French military leader of two centuries ago, Napoleon Bonaparte, that he famously said once, quote, "There is in the midst of every great battle a 10 to 15 minute period that is the crucial point. Take that period, making the best use of it, and you win the battle. Lose it or fail to make use of it as you might and should have, and you will be defeated." Well, do you better understand, at least a little with all this, what Paul means with the Christian exhortation of Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time? When we are Christians, we know by God's grace and Spirit that this world is evil. And that saving us from our sins, God will have us live to His praise in true love to God and our neighbor in the whole of our life. And this means, our text is teaching us, you and I are to seize the moments and the countless opportunities God gives us for His glory and to testify of Him. And to not let those times slip away and those opportunities be wasted. Strikingly, I heard it on the way to church from our radio pastor, Reverend Schumann, how John the Baptist made use of the opportunities given him. And how many other places in Scripture don't we also find this same sort of exhortation, even what our elder of service read from Ecclesiastes 11. But let me mention just two other references. The one is found in Galatians 6, verse 10. There the Apostle Paul says to Christians, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And the other reference is 1 Peter 4, verse 2 and following. There the Apostle exhorts Christians, "No longer should we live the rest of our life, of our time, in the flesh, for the lusts of men. But now," says Peter, "for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles or heathens when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In other words, do you hear it with me? Peter and Paul are calling for God's people not to live ongoing, wasted, fruitless, aimless, self-centered lives, but to live lives redeeming the time. It is a Christian exhortation. The non-Christian can't possibly understand this call, nor begin to live doing so. Unbelievers live misusing and abusing the time given them from God. But God's people, when saved by grace, begin to live in a whole new way and are by God's Spirit and Word motivated and empowered also to live with a Christian outlook and perspective on all of life. The true Christian can be known and can be seen to be genuine even in relation to this call to redeem the time. Then when you hear this call and exhortation, you don't just brush it off, but you hear it and you consider it. And in fact, it begins to characterize our lives truly and increasingly. Is such true of you and me, each one of you listening now? This Christian and biblical perspective on time and eternity underscores for God's people the call to redeem the time, making the most use of it, and taking care to be responsible with the time God gives us. Something of the urgency of this is clearly expressed too in that well-known poem, which you have heard before, I'm sure, by C.T. Studd. I read recently a young man at 17 hearing that poem was so convicted. His whole life changed for good and for God. You know the poem? Also in connection with the lines of our text. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. The still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Isn't this, beloved, the true Christian perspective on life? And in line expressly even with our text, Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the times because the days are evil. Our first main thought. This is a Christian exhortation. Perhaps I was thinking, maybe God may use even the troubles of our times and the rescheduling and reassessment of our time on account of the COVID-19 pandemic. Maybe God will use it to help us reassess what we have been doing with our time and the opportunities given to us. And here let's move to our second main thought about redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This is not only a Christian exhortation, but a practical exhortation. And what we mean here is that when living by this verse, Ephesians 5:16, it has all kinds of practical implications. Let me just name some of them. And let us each examine ourselves in regards to what is mentioned. When redeeming the time, because the days are evil, that means, among other things, especially practically speaking, for one, having God's word as your guide and your guard in your life, and filling your mind and heart with his word time and again. Doesn't the Apostle Paul himself speak of this in the very context of our verse? He mentions knowing the will of God. How can we know God's will except as revealed to us in his word, the Spirit-inspired scriptures? People today want to look all kinds of places to find God's will, but we look in vain to learn God's will apart from God's word. It is as you and I saturate ourselves with God's word and pray and work to know the scriptures that we will be enlightened and equipped and inspired and enthused and expectant in redeeming the time. When Paul speaks of knowing the will of the Lord, he doesn't mean just being fully aware or being aware of it, that there's the Bible, but he means understanding that Bible and loving it and wanting to live by it from start to finish. Are you and I so seeking to know the will of the Lord in our lives? Are your minds and hearts filled and thrilled in praise and adoration with God's gospel word and will as revealed to us in the word written and in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Savior? Let's not be content with a ho-hum sort of knowing the truth, but seek for a wholehearted knowing of the truth and realizing its ultimate necessity and riches for ourselves and for all people everywhere, without any exceptions. And speaking of Christ, the Word made flesh, let's think often of him. How he gave himself, yes, every opportunity he had to spend himself for to save sinners like us. He never wasted a moment for the task the Father gave him to do. Oh, in love to him, in thanksgiving to him, shall we not follow him and praise him, spending ourselves for his glory, redeeming the time to his praise? Practically speaking, congregation, to redeem the time, you and I must be people in the Word and of the Word and with the Word, ever looking to Jesus. Yes, during the week and especially too on the Lord's days. How true in this regard, the quote also given in the bulletin where the person prays, "Eternal God, I praise you for the gift of time. May I use it wisely in cultivating my inner life of prayer, scripture reading, and contemplation, so that I may be more freely disposed to be your effective servant." So Jesus also teaches us, doesn't he, in John 15, without abiding in Christ and his word, you and I cannot and will not bear any fruit, certainly not of redeeming the time and times given to us. In this time of crises, ask yourself, as I ask myself, may it be given especially for God's people to help reprioritize our lives. Putting first things first, among which would be and should be regular personal and family devotions and regular, consistent, faithful worship on the Lord's days. How are you presently taking care in a practical way to be much in the Word and looking to Jesus and adoring him during each week, and especially on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, for our time during the rest of the week? Another very practical way in regards to this call of redeeming the time and related to our first is that it urges and commits us, congregation, in daily prayer and dependency on the Lord. Yes, every day again. Nothing will come of this exhortation in our lives except you and I repeatedly call on God Triune so to lead us and guide us and help us and bless us. Do you and I humbly acknowledge this? And do we pray then to be the people of God the Lord calls us to be? Do we, you and I, pray for the Holy Spirit so to direct us and bless us and motivate us in our thoughts, words, and deeds time and again that we bring glory to God and testify of Him, even in our mundane activities, and tell of His glorious gospel and riches to others as given us opportunity? Do you and I pray for the forgiveness daily of our many failures in redeeming the time? And for strength and renewal truly more and more to redeem the time. I was convicted myself the day I wrote the sermon. I had to pick up my car from the service station. And on my way home, I thought, as I was preparing the sermon, I think I failed to redeem the time, even when I related with the service station staff. I read in this connection about the 16th century reformer Philip Melanchthon, who was a co-worker with Luther, that he tried to keep a record of every wasted moment. And he took his list to God in confession at the end of each day, asking for forgiveness and renewal. Knowing this, as one commented, small wonder that God used Melanchthon in such great ways. How often, isn't it true, our prayers can be more about just our needs and mostly about our comforts in this life. But again, as another quotation in the bulletin mentions, namely from John Piper, prayer is not for the enhancement of our comforts, but for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Is this same reflected also in our prayers and cares, yours and mine? Do you pray that you might be a shining light and influence for God and good on others, in your home, and at school, and in the workplace, and in the congregation and community you and I live in? How good is this pandemic crisis in our day, stopping us in our tracks in so many ways, has us look at our devotional and our prayer life and maybe reassess and recommit ourselves rightly in this regard. Surely another detail with redeeming the time being a practical exhortation would be realizing consciously every day what is the Christian's calling in this life. What is it, according to Scripture, our calling? It's not simply that we get to heaven. No, but that en route there also, by God's grace and Spirit, we seek to glorify God. And that we seek to reach out to others as God enables us and gives us opportunity, relating the only help and hope for this fallen world. Think of Jesus' teaching here in Matthew 5, calling his people to be salt and light in this world. We are to know whom we have believed and to be ready to testify of the hope we have to others as God gives us the opportunities. Are you and I living consciously and conscientiously with this in mind? How can I serve to be a Christian witness? In every setting and with any and every opportunity given to me. How can I live in diligence and vigilance, reflecting the fragrance of Christ and the salvation of the Lord for sinners in and through Him? Practically speaking, congregation, shouldn't we wake up every morning with this sense of our Christian privilege and calling? And to live each day then, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Here let me give you a little part of what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes on Ephesians 5:16. With this exhortation about redeeming the time, as he put it, quote, Paul is not merely exhorting us not to waste our time. No, he's much stronger than the negative, though the negative is, of course, included. But Paul is calling Christians here, back then and still today, be alert, be alive, and seek opportunities and buy up opportunities to be a gospel light. He then expands on this, urging that we pray and work for conversation turners in our discussions and relations with others. Conversation turners, turning things from the mundane to the eternal. We are not, he says, and I found this helpful for myself, we are not to so much to ask another suddenly, are you saved? Though sometimes God gives us those opportunities as well. Often though, as he relates, such a question, especially in our secular Western world, can just stop all conversation, and we need to learn instead, he says, in our general conversation, to be humbly, lovingly wise, and thus to take the time to listen and to draw out others, and then to seek, as this preacher put it, to seek to link what is said to eternal principles. To link what is said to eternal principles. This is what redeeming the time is about, beloved, with others. Yes, to link what is said, or what we observe, or what we hear, to eternal principles. Is this what we, you and I, care to do and seek to do time and again? God helping us. Practically speaking, we redeem the time when we also diligently and even self-sacrificingly reach out to others in time of need, ministering in times of sickness or trials or calamities as the opportunities arise, and going out of our way even to look for times and opportunities to show loving care in difficulties. And in that context also, to pray and to work, to speak a word in season, if possible. And again, with this pandemic crisis, I was thinking, perhaps God is giving us more opportune times for this very thing. To reflect his love and to give help. And in that process, in that setting, also to give words of wisdom and truth and words of hope and help in this confused and troubled world where many are anxious and despairing without any answers. But we have answers. Someone mentioned to me this week, not from our church, about giving their camping trailer for use for health workers who were forced in isolation at this time. And I heard of someone who said, just giving a Kleenex can sometimes open doors you never expected. How good, beloved, when this looking for opportunities and making use of them as we are able is our daily care and our blessed sense of burden and responsibility, and that we so be redeeming the time because the days are evil. How good in this regard, also practically speaking, to make ourselves aware of our times and our culture and the needs and the cares and the concerns in the world and in this present time. We are to be in the world, but not of it, seeking always to be a light in it and not to be ensnared by it. And don't forget, let's be redeeming the time, first in our homes. How many opportunities are there to do good, to be a blessing, but also outside. One other way that we are to view this exhortation to redeem the time, and there are more I'm sure we can mention as a practical exhortation, is that you and I live conscious of and ever reminding ourselves repeatedly of the shortness of life, the shortness of life, and the call not to put off for tomorrow what might be done today. Hardly are you and I living a healthy, holy, helpful Christian life, redeeming the time, if we live mostly just procrastinating on our responsibilities and are being just undisciplined, self-centered, lazy people. The Christian life, congregation, shouldn't be one of lazily and sloppily, repeatedly saying, yes, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll get to that responsibility of mine. Tomorrow I'll do that thing I know I need to do. Tomorrow I will change and become more disciplined in seeking and serving the Lord and putting first things first and helping others, but not for now. Just let me sleep some more and let me do my own thing, mostly nothing at all. Sadly, are there not too many confessing Christians and highly privileged covenant children who are shamefully living this way, wasting much of their God-given opportunities and time? Time to learn of God. Time to stop old habits and begin new habits. Time to seek and serve the Lord, but wasting Him and failing to redeem the time because the days are evil. Oh, let this not be said of you and me. I spoke to someone this week when I asked, how are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm just doing a whole lot of nothing. And the person meant that probably well, but that really shouldn't describe us ever, should it? We need our days off. We need our time out. I realize that fully. But even those times out need to be for redeeming the time. So let's not put off for tomorrow what we rightly could and should have done this day and every day. And so I ask you, this very time of our schedules being so realigned from what they were before, will you and I take care that this be a profitable time for ourselves and for others? A time indeed helping us to reorient and discipline and direct our lives to be redeeming the time to God's praise now and for the future and for the rest of our lives here on earth. This is a call not just to the older ones, but to the children and young people too. I think of the verse in Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. If we will be Christians in spirit and truth, it must show also by God's grace and spirit in you and I redeeming the time, and not less and less so as time goes on, but more and more so. God helping us all the time. The truly redeemed care to redeem the time. That is, to make that time that God gives us, however long or short it be, to count for eternity and to be of blessing to others, even for as long as we live. Here it's important to say that if you are not a Christian, as mentioned earlier, not only can't you even begin then to redeem the time, but you need to hear the urgent call to seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He is still near. Yes, as gracious, forgiving Savior of sinners. The time of grace where God saves sinners is fast coming to a close. How terribly sad if someone also in our church family should forever remain condemned in his or her heart because you at no time in this life asked Jesus in your heart and life. The Bible warns lovingly and earnestly that sinners like us all will perish for all time and eternity if you or I will not call on the Lord Jesus in this very time of grace to be our Savior and Lord. Oh, I pray God that no one listening now will so live and die as fools, despising the time of grace and the call of the urgent, gracious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is the accepted time and the time of salvation for all who will hear and repent and believe. Oh, hear Christ's calling, even now in this sermon, directed more to Christians, and the call to redeem the time in their Christian life, because the days are evil. Well, we have thought about this call, redeeming the time, being a Christian exhortation and a practical exhortation. Very briefly yet, let's consider it being a happy exhortation. Happy, why? Well, because when living by this exhortation of Ephesians 5:16, it means living in praise to God and for the good of others. Those who live redeeming the time are not a hindrance to others, but a help to others. Not a sorrow to others, but a joy to others. Not a blot in life, but a blessing in life. When redeeming the time by God's grace and Spirit, you and I don't live as fools, but as the wise. And we live not wasted, lazy, useless lives, but most diligent, blessed, and fruitful lives to God's glory and our neighbor's well-being. Think again of Jesus and then the disciples, and so many Christians in history, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And what a blessing these people have been and are even long after they have passed away. Congregation, it's not the length of our lives that measures our usefulness for God and good, but the quality of our lives, redeeming the time God grants us. Are we each and all personally persuaded of this truth? Plus, in regards to this calling of redeeming the time being a happy calling, think too of the joy of meeting the Lord, knowing you have lived by His grace and Spirit, redeeming the time, seeking to be a faithful Christian witness in word and deed, time and again, as God gave you opportunity. You didn't waste your talent burying it in a handkerchief. Then you don't live in endless regrets, but many thanksgivings when you live redeeming the time. Then you can say, as the Apostle Paul does in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8, as he too lived, redeeming the time, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. In heaven, beloved, just think of this. Never again will we have to redeem the time. Because all of life then and there will all be perfectly redeemed, including ourselves. And never will there be any evil coming there. None whatsoever. So, in an extra last stanza of that poem, "Only One Life Till Be Soon Be Passed," we find these words of joyful contentment and peace. Only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I'm dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Now this poem, dear congregation, we need to understand is not, and our sermon too, is not promoting works righteousness as if we're saved by what we do for the Lord. No, but it is teaching when we truly belong to the Lord and are His dear children, saved by grace, let us, as fruit of faith in Christ, live redeeming the time to His glory because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you today see this as a very relevant Christian exhortation and practical exhortation and happy exhortation also now for you and for me, looking to the Lord so to bless and help us? Oh, may God so prosper this His word, giving it lasting impression on us all. And to Him be all the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.